You're listening to Tales from Eluthane. Hiryu sat on a stone near the fire he had built outside the camp of the enslaved kobolds. The fire itself was small, as not to draw the attention of the house whose field he was in, but big enough that the kobolds knew he was there. The light of the flame is liberation, and the path to freedom is trust and benevolence. He spoke the mantra in his limited draconic vocabulary, avoiding the language of their human masters. As he spoke the words, the flame's light became a bright scarlet, its warmth not only touching his skin, but reflected deep in his soul. It was his third night outside the camp, 4 months since he left his home in Eluthane in search of his sister Moira. The search itself had turned up little, but finding himself in Venita, Hiryu sieved to find the presence of slavery in the Republic. For all the talk of liberty in the fledgling nation, he had been disappointed. As yet, no kobold approached the fence near his fire. Still, he remained. Their sidelong glances reassured him of their curiosity. He stared deep into the flames as his mind drifted to a time too far away, when he and his sister prepared for their first guarding rites. Hiryus was 15 as he prepared for his first time ministering rites as a member of the Eluthenai Temple. His mother was still officiating, of course, but this was a rite of passage into the priesthood for him and his sister. "Are you still getting ready?" Moira's voice came from the door. "Mother's waiting for us," she said. "Moment," Hiryus called. "I need to apply some ointment to my stump," he said, reaching for the bottle he kept on his writing desk. "It's still bothering you?" his sister asked, her concern apparent. "It's been weeks since we made our lamps," she said, running her hand over her own cut horn. Hiryus offered his sister a pacifying smile. "It's only irritating once in a while now. I just don't want it to act up during the ceremony." Moira rolled her eyes and nodded. "Of course," she said. "But hurry, you're making us late." The ointment was applied quickly, and soon his hood was raised. Taking up his lamp, he followed his sister into the frigid Eluthane air. The guarding rite at the kiln drew a large crowd each year. It wasn't the most significant holiday in the liturgical cycle, but the products of the kiln provided much of Eluthane's livelihood. Ceramics were his people's primary export. They weren't the biggest producers of stoneware, but over the generations, their work had gained enough reputation that Eluthenai pieces were highly valued. Sufficient that the community-run kiln could make up for the limited farming of their frozen home. "There you are," called their mother Fosse as they ran across the frozen ground to meet her. "Your father just came past to tell me they're almost done loading the kiln. I was afraid you'd miss the lighting." Moira frowned. "You're the leader of the temple, Mom. You'd think you'd be able to delay the ceremony a bit for your own children." The mother sighed. "A position I only have through the trust of our people. You wouldn't want me to take advantage of that, would you?" Hiryus winced at his mother's words. Since gaining their freedom, trust was the foundation of their town's order. Leadership was elected yearly, and that was perhaps the biggest token of trust one could win. To violate it? Well, it was a taboo seldom broken. Moira's tail drooped from the chastisement. "Even still, our people," she made quotes in the air, "are our friends and neighbors. I'm sure they'd forgive you a little tardiness. Besides, Hiryu's stump is still bothering him." "Moira!" Hiryu cried, mortified. "What? Still?" his mother said, moving to inspect her son's head. Hiryu pulled at the edges of his hood to hide his face in protest. "No, Mom, it's fine," he said, his tail thrashing with agitation. "Let's just go to the kiln already."
"If you say so," she said, looking down at her son, still worried.
"Yeah," he responded, not letting go of his hood until his mother led them away.
Most of Eluthane had gathered near the Great Step Kiln, which had been constructed against a hillside generations ago. Hiryus could see Rai, his older brother, working at its front, loading wood whose ash would become the color to decorate the potter's work.
"Ah, Mother," Rai said, greeting them as they approached. "We're almost ready. Pa just sealed up the back. Once we've set the kindling, you can start."
Their mother nodded, and Rai turned to his younger siblings. So, you two ready to stay up all night, tending the flame? He said with a grin. To be honest, I'm glad I'm not doing your job tonight. I'll tell you what, I'm going to sleep while you two are out here, he said as he ran his knuckles over Hiroyu's head. Stop that! Hiroyu wailed and his brother chuckled. I suppose that's why you didn't join the priesthood, Moira chided. Well, one of us had to follow in Pa's footsteps. It may as well be me, right? Rai cut back. Cut it out, you three. Their mother rubbed her eyes as she reproved them in a harsh whisper. The whole town is here, and Moira, it's good to have a potter in the family. Their work in many ways is harder than ours, and we contribute together, Fose finished. Moira sighed. Yeah, I know, she said. Just make him leave Hiroyus alone. Hiroyus's tail sank low to the ground, and he grumbled. His sister was too quick to defend him, and he wished she would just let him handle himself sometimes. Your brother's fine, their mother said, and Hiroyus wasn't sure which she meant. Rai shrugged and went back to work. In short order, it was time for the rite of guarding to begin. Moira and Hiroyus followed their mother to the pavilion sheltering the front of the kiln to meet the other priests. Once there, Hiroyus withdrew a prayer book from his robes.
What are you doing? Moira asked through clenched teeth. Don't you have your part memorized?
I do, Hiroyus whispered back defensively. I just want to be sure. Whatever, Moira breathed. Just remember they all know you're my brother. What's that supposed to mean? Hiroyus whispered, but apparently not softly enough as he caught his mother's fiery glare to cut him short. Shortly, the tone of a bell silenced the crowd as Fose stepped forward. Her horn lamp held aloft, its flame deep red. We who once toiled enslaved by darkness are now liberated by light, she intoned. The next priest stepped forward and lit their lamp from Fose's. By light of the flame, our work is ours, they said as the flame's light was shared with them. Moira then joined the others, and their mother lowered her lamp to share the flame with her. Trust and benevolence is the path to freedom. May we share our labors and their fruits together, she spoke as the flame on her lamp took its crimson hue. Hiroyus followed along in his book, and his turn had come. He stepped forward and met his mother's smile. May the light of the flame protect our labors. He was reading aloud phrase by phrase and frowned as he stumbled. May they carry its light so that the darkness cannot overtake them. He looked at the ground as he finished. His mother nodded and raised his chin as she lit his lamp. You did good, she whispered to him, and he was relieved when the flame he carried turned red like the others, its power reflected in his heart. Then he, with the other priests, turned to the kindling at the base of the kiln. May the light of the flame provide you with strength wherever you go, they chanted together as they lowered their lamps to light the kindling. Potters then worked bellows to stoke the flame, which soon spread to the wood inside the kiln. Cheers and applause erupted from the crowd, and Hiroyus grinned as he joined them in a traditional song. Whirlwinds of danger are raging around us, overwhelming forces of darkness assail. Still in the fight, see advancing before us, red flame of liberty that yet shall prevail. Then forward, you workers, freedom awaits you, o'er all the world, on the land and the sea. On with the fight for the cause of our liberty. March, march, you toilers, and the world shall be free. The memory of years past was bittersweet since his sister departed. It had been that night she had brought to him a book of drow lore, a variation of the Ballad of Creation. A community of the elves lived in a cave network in the hills far to the south of Eluthane, which had led Hiroyus to study their language. Moira had given the book as a gift to encourage his studies, but in some ways, the myths he translated from it were the beginning of their troubles. His people had known the story of creation, or at least the most common story, but the drow who lived in those caves didn't believe they shared the creation by Zephyronus like the other elves, instead believing their genesis to be from the caverns themselves. Further, the text called his people demons, the spawn of the same who'd once enslaved them, rather than the creation of Lilith. Hiroyus grimaced as he remembered how curiosity ate at his sister, until she left to find their true creator, whomever that was. His His only hint that she was still alive was a sending he received a year before his own journey began. I found it. That was all the contact he had. His own attempts to respond had failed. He poked the coals of his fire and sighed. Looking up, he saw he was being watched closely by a kobold through the fence. "Who are you?" the kobold said in their own draconic dialect. "One whose people were once enslaved like yourself. One who brings the light of the flame to show you the way of liberation." Tales from Eluthane is a podcast by Eric Porter, created as an exploration of my D&D character's culture. The World Beyond Eluthane is the primary creation of Benjamin Priest, RDM. The poem from this episode is a variation of the Warsawian, with lyrics adapted for the setting.